Trust, we're thankful for another opportunity to be in the Lord's house and to hear the preaching of the word this day. We trust that the Lord would bless us for a little while this day. And I'd ask that you would pray for me that the Lord would bless us together with the thoughts that's on my mind. I've never learned how to, all I know to do is to talk about what's on my heart and what's pressing. I can think of some other things that I think, well, this would be good to preach on. This would be great, maybe. But if the Lord's not in it, it wouldn't be. But I don't know why this is on my mind, but it's what seems to be pressing. I'd like to begin in just a couple of scriptures, talking about the scriptures, and then I want to talk something about preaching. And let's begin in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, what sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatsoever things were written aforetime. The prophecy and the scriptures came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We believe in the divine inspiration and preservation of the Word of God. Amen. God would move men to speak, and He also moved men to pen down scriptures that He spake. And we actually have it recorded in a few places in Jeremiah, where He told Jeremiah to take a pen and write down all the words that he had prophesied. So God has moved men to pen down all scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The scripture means that which is written. It's script. Right. It's the scriptures that we have here was divinely breathed of God. Right. And not only that, but He's preserved them unto this day. Amen. And so we have the Word of God. And we could go to Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus affirms in a situation. I want to spend a lot of time here, but He says, have you never read what God said? And then He quoted something that's written hundreds and hundreds of years back in Moses' day. Right. My point is this. In Jesus' day, 1,000 years after something was written, He said, haven't you ever read what God said? You could still read 1,000 years later what God actually said. Amen. To Moses. And the only way that is true is because God had preserved His word. Amen. Unto Jesus' day. The same is true today. We still have it today. Yes. The words of the Lord are pure words. Silver is tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation to forever. I may have garbled that up. I haven't thought about that in a while. That's, I think, Psalms 12. Search the scriptures. Make sure I'm telling you right. That's why I try to tell you where I'm at. Because you need to go and confirm what I'm saying. It's true. Okay. So, sorry, I didn't know exactly where that was. I think it's verses 6 and 7. And I think I garbled it too. But you go and read it. My point is, I want to get to is, this text says, whatsoever things were written. Paul told the church at Rome, whatever things were written for our learning. When were those things written? Long time ago. We have a similar scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about how that a lot of the history and the things that happened to the children of Israel, and how that some were idolaters and what happened to them, and some committed fornication, what happened to them, some tempted Christ, some murmured and restored to the destroyer. Verse 10, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. You ever thought that the things in God's Word, the scriptures that God inspired men to pen down, He was thinking of us today? They were written for our learning. You say, you mean God was thinking of us all the way back then? Well, of course. I mean, He was thinking of you before the foundation of the world, if you were chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world. But He specifically had men pen down the Word of God, thinking of us for our learning. Yes. for our admonition. Okay? So, am I going to learn from it? If I never read it, I never come in contact with it, God pinned it down for my learning, but if I don't read it and know it, I'm not going to learn anything. I have a responsibility. Just think about this. You say, Brother Vince, you mean God had me in mind when he had these things pinned down by Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these men? Yes, he did. Aren't you a little curious what's in there? That he took all the trouble to have it pinned down and preserve it providentially all these years to your coffee table. There's your letter. He had you in mind. There's some things in there that he wants you to learn. I've got to open it to see it. There's a purpose for the written word. It's for our learning. It's one thing. But I don't want to talk about the written word right now. I mean, I've spent a little too much time. God not only has a purpose for his written word, and it's there, and he instituted, I say instituted, he had men pin down his word. He preserved it for our learning. He had a purpose in it for us, for our benefit. Well, that's my segue into saying that God has a purpose for preaching the word. God could have designed his church where you didn't have to have preachers. He could just, I mean, he wouldn't have to have them. God could get along and instruct us in other methods. And he does. We are all supposed to read. The preacher's not the end all, but I'm going to tell you that God raises up men of God to preach the word of God, and he's got a purpose for it. To instruct us for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I know I'm sure you're schooled in why, you know, they got to be apt to teach, and, you know, preachers don't know everything, but God put them in the church for a purpose, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. There's a purpose in preaching. God made Paul a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He raises men. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. We already heard. There's a purpose for preaching. And one of the things that God does in preaching, it pleased God, and I'm not giving you the scriptures for these, but come to me later, I'll tell you where they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay? He's got a purpose in preaching and raising up men to preach the word. Okay, one more text. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Paul tells us that God hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. There's a special way that God manifests his word through preaching. Okay? He can manifest his word through your reading, and he does. Study. We should study. But God has a special purpose in preaching. Okay? Or he wouldn't raise up preachers. God manifests his word through preaching. All right? So, I'd like to just spend a few minutes, don't know why it's on my mind, but a few minutes on how we may most profitably hear the preaching of the word of God. All right? It's important that we hear the preaching of the word. And God can give us, he manifests his word through preaching. He can give us things and teach us through the preaching of these servants. Don't we pray? We already heard the prayers. Lord, send us a message that we need. Yes. What do we need? We should pray. And that's one of the things we should do. There's some things we ought to do before. There's some things we ought to do before the preaching of the word. There's some things we ought to do during the preaching of the word, and there's some things we should do after the preaching of the word for it to be most profitable unto us. And I'd like to look at just a few of those things. One of the first things, and I just recently added one of the things to do beforehand in preparation for the preaching, was I had a little confession. For whatever reason, I usually don't eat breakfast. I think that's it, but I ate a good breakfast this morning. And I got sleepy. I was sleepy this morning. And so one of the things, I'm telling you this right after a big lunch, aren't I? Well, I went out. I skipped lunch today because I said, well, I ate breakfast. I usually don't eat breakfast and I'm sleepy. I don't want to be sleepy for this afternoon. I didn't know I'd be right here, but I took a little nap, okay, to refresh myself so I could be attentive and awake. So first thing we could do is get a good night's sleep the night before and prepare our bodies so that we're not fighting sleep. You know, that's one of the things when we come to a meeting. All these old Baptists have, these sisters make such good food. I mean, they can cook, you know, all of that. And I just think, you know, here's all my favorite foods. And I just eat, and I'm thinking I'm going to pay for it in the afternoon because I get sleepy. All right, anybody sleepy? I'm telling you, I mean, maybe we could try to limit ourselves a little bit if it's important. Is it important that we not be sleepy and sleep during the afternoon service? Well, God, that might be when God's going to manifest a certain word to you, have a certain message that God sent the minister to you, and that word's for you. And you could be like I was this morning, you'll fight and sleep. I don't know if I got it or not. I'm serious. Maybe we should temper ourselves a little bit. I mean, I know it's so good. It is. But prepare. You know, what do we... The preaching of the word is important. And I can help prepare myself for that by being not physically exhausted or sleepy or whatever, to best of my ability. All right? That was a new one I added. I hadn't thought about that till I was sleepy this morning. The other things we can do is, of course, we have to go with a desire for God's word. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to have a desire for the word of God. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I used to read that, you know, as, you know, babes just telling me that babes desire this milk. Well, they do, but it's actually a command. He's saying, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We should have a desire for the word of God. We find Job 23:12. I have desired the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, I guess that gets back to what I said before. I mean, eating too much at lunch. Yeah, what's more important? The word of God, that bread from heaven, or the bread on the table? I have desired the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We find over in Psalms, David, 119 Psalm, verse 72, he says, the words of thy mouth are better unto me than thousands of silver and gold. The words of God are precious. We see, so we need to have a desire for the word of God and have that desire. And we need to have, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. We see this desire reflected. And also the next point is that we should pray that the Lord would grant us wisdom and understanding and teach us through the word. Okay? We find in, let's say Proverbs chapter 2. Bear with me. Verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. That's the point I want. We should seek God's knowledge, his truth, like we would be seeking gold or silver. Is it precious to us? Do we desire God's word? To know God's word, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's what David said. So we should come with a desire for God's word. And we should come with a realizing our dependence upon God. We need to come realizing our dependence upon God. It says, if we seek her as silver, we search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I think we need to have a good appreciation of the fact that we're dependent upon God to understand God's word. Amen. To understand God's word. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. He You remember many of his times the disciples came to Christ. I'm thinking of one in Luke chapter 18, about verse 48, I think, where he came to his disciples and said, the Son of Man is to be taken by the hands of men, crucified and slain. It says they didn't understand what he was saying. And it was hid from them. Then you go to Luke chapter 24, verse 45. After his resurrection, he got with them. It says, and then opened, he went through all the Psalms and things prophesied concerning him. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. We need to realize we have a dependence upon God. And that will move us to pray to God, which is the next thing. We have to have desire for the Word of God, and then we need to go into the service of God, as you all know, you already know all this. We're to pray, Lord, that you would instruct us out of thy law, out of the law. Instruct us from thy word. We see David, a few expressions by him, verse 18 of Psalms 119. He says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Teach me, Lord, open thou mine eyes. And we heard, I think it was last night, one of the brethren went to Ephesians chapter 1, where he talks about Paul had prayed for them that their eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. Who do you think does that? God does that. We're dependent upon God. If God doesn't show us, we'll not be shown. But we have the promise there in Proverbs chapter 2 that if we cry unto the Lord and lift up our voice for knowledge, see, we're seeking, we're praying to God for those things. Those things should come before. We're going to both be profited by the hearing of the Word of God when we pray, Lord, open thou mine eyes. Many times we have not because we ask not, Scripture says. We need to be praying. And also that praying for the preacher. We find there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18-19, where it talks about praying. And it says, pray for me also, that I may be given a tongue of utterance, that I might speak the things that I should, and boldly, and the things that I should speak, you see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. We need to be praying for our ministers. And that God would give them a message, because they can't preach unless God's with them. And they all know that, and you know all that. All right? And it's not just a cut and dry deal just because someone studies and he's, you know, you all know that. I mean, I've stood up in the pulpit before and I stumbled around for about 3 or 4 minutes and I just took my seat. Okay? That will happen. All right? Even with preachers that are good preachers, you know what I mean? I don't put myself in that category. I think mine's anyway, God can, you know, Balaam's ass can preach pretty good when the Lord's with him, you know. I mean, you don't have to be much. If God's with you and he blesses you, you know, and God just had, you know, Balaam's ass out there, and well, he's handy, I'll just use him. I think about that a lot. I'll just use him. Well, sometimes he uses a Jeremiah or a Ezekiel or a Paul. I mean, you know, but anyway. We need to pray that the Lord bless the man to preach. Because if the Lord doesn't bless the man, you know he's not going to preach. All right? But we need to pray that he would bless us to hear. Impart unto me. Break down the bread of life to me. To teach me, O Lord, thy statutes. Show me. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold glorious things from thy word. So those are some things that go before a profitable hearing of the Word of God. All right. Okay. What are some things? All right, there's one more thing you can do before. And that's show up. Yeah. For the preaching. Okay. I mean, it's kind of a, you say that's a given. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. See, it's kind of like all Scripture is given. I mean, the whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. If we don't read it, you know, we're not going to benefit. Well, if the preaching's going on and I'm not there, God's not going to manifest any words to me if I'm not there through that preaching. Okay? Acts chapter 10. After the Lord got finished teaching Peter some lessons about what God hath cleansed, call not thou common or unclean, send him over to those Gentiles. He went. Cornelius and his near friends and family, they were gathered there together and told the experience to Peter of what had happened and how he had sent for them. We'll pick it up here in verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. First thing is, he says, now therefore we're all here present before God. I mean, that's the first thing. We're all here. But there's a lot more to it than that. They just weren't there to see their brethren for a family reunion. They had another purpose in mind for being there. Amen. Before God. It says we're all here present before God to hear. To hear. I was losing my voice. They're there to hear. Hear what? The word of God. All things that were commanded thee of God. They were there to hear the word of God. It's important to be there to hear. But it's also important to be there to hear the right things too. It's important for the preacher to preach the right things. They weren't there to hear fables. They weren't there to hear the dream I had last night, my over-spiritualization of it. Okay? They weren't there like that. You know, there's a lot on Mars Hill. They were there to hear some new thing. They set Paul up. What will this babbler say? They put Paul up just hear some. What's this babbler going to say? They weren't necessarily gathered there together to hear the word of God, even though they heard it. They were there for a purpose to hear all these things. To hear or tell some new thing. All right? Paul told Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming. Preach the word. Preach the word. Well, that's why we need to preach the word. We ought to be praying that our preachers preach the word. Okay? And we ought to be there to hear the word. All right? So they were there to preach the word. They were there to hear the word. Okay. So, if the preacher's not preaching the word, you're not going to hear the word. Okay. So, it's a dual thing. The preacher's got to be there to preach the word. And the people's got to be there to hear the word. Okay. And be praying to that end. All right. So, but other things we can do while we're there hearing the word, most important thing, is to be attentive. Okay? And that I didn't say that was the easiest thing to do. I said it was one of the most important things to do. Because if God is going to manifest some word, some portion of truth unto me through the man that's preaching, I want to be sure that I'm there and I'm going to not miss it. So I have to be attentive. Attentive. Mark chapter 4. Verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Before he began teaching the parable of the sower, he says, hearken. Now that's just one little word, but he's telling them to do something. He's saying, listen. That have your attention? All right. I know some a person right now, I'm not gonna say who it is, but before you tell them something, you say, okay, focus, look at me. Do I have your attention? Oh, okay. And then you tell them something to get it. But if you got to get their attention. All right? He says, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. We need to be attentive. I find over here in Acts chapter 13, when Paul was in Antioch in Pisidia, and he stood up and he beckoned unto the people, the Jews, with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience." Then he started talking to them. That's important that we be attentive. He said, give audience. He said, listen up. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Be very attentive. In Luke, I like this one. In Luke chapter, I think it's 19. Speaking of Christ, verse 47 says, "He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." They were very attentive. And my center column says, they hanged on him. You get the expression? They were just hanging on every word. That is something we need to cultivate. This is something we need to be. Do you believe that God can impart, and no doubt, in your experience, you ever been in any time in the house of God where the preacher was preaching and God sent you a special word? Amen. That was, you know, that was for me, no doubt about it. Well, you better be ready next time, all the time, to catch that, because he may send you another one. And you don't want to miss it. You need to be hanging on every word. There may, you know, hanging on every word. You don't know when it's going to come. They were hanging on every word. They were very attentive unto him. Ezra. Actually, Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra, the priest. They brought him he stood on a pulpit of wood and preached from midday to, from morning to midday. And he read, verse 3, it says, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive. That's a long service. Morning till midday. But they were attentive. They were hanging on all those words. They were important to them. There's a relationship between how important I think the word is and how much attentiveness I'm going to give to it. Be proportionate. That's what I was trying to get us to think about. The word of God is important. God has a purpose. He manifests his word through preaching. We don't want to miss it. So we need to be attentive, okay? And pray, and pray that the Lord would bless us to be attentive, to hearken, give audience, be attentive. All right, let's look in Luke. We're going to add one more thing to that, Luke chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, excuse me. I think. Verse 14, this is speaking of Jesus. It says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." So he's telling them to listen. Now he's telling them to understand what I'm saying. See, we need to be attentive to the word of God and seeing what is the hearing the preaching of the word, but we need to be trying to understand it. To understand it. Jesus just told them to. Of course, I understand it. You know, unless God gives us understanding, we're not going to understand it. Okay? But he can bless us to understand. I mean, God can provide you with employment in a job. But you need to fill out the applications and seek it. And he can bless it. If we're not trying to understand, how much understanding is God going to give us? We already saw in Proverbs chapter 2, if you'll cry and you'll seek unto me for understanding, I'll give it. But he tells them here, still, we're to be attentive. He says, hearken every one of you and understand. Understand. If we go back to Nehemiah, back in the same place we were in chapter 8. You know, the first day, says all they, he stood from morning to midday and were attentive. Well, the next day they met. And the next day, verse 13 says, on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers and of all the people and priests and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. That shows their purpose. You see that? It says, the first day I just read, it says they were attentive. This says they came back the second day and to hear Ezra teach out of the Word of God to understand the law of God. They met there with a purpose. So we need to be coming together, be attentive, and we need to be trying to understand what the preacher is preaching as he's preaching, to understand it. If you went to college and you're in class and you're going through the school and you're not trying to understand, are you going to understand much of it if you're not trying to understand? No. See, it takes activity on our part to be attentive and be trying to understand these principles. Okay? The things of God, to understand them. But we need to be attentive. As it says it this way in Acts chapter 17 about those in at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That goes back to being attentive, does it not? They received the word. You know, what is it? You know, they were drinking it in. They were hanging on every word. He said, that's what he's telling us to do. Receive it with all readiness of mind. And that gives segue into what we should be doing afterwards. Searching the scriptures. If I'm going to be profited by the hearing of the word of God being preached, I'm going to search the scriptures whether those things are so. That's an important part. And it's not that brethren are trying to deceive you. These are good brethren. But it has to do with the fact that I may tell you, even though I love you, I love the Lord, trying to do what I teach you the truth. I might have something wrong. I might teach you something wrong. And I'm not just talking about sometimes I put Moses on the ark. I mean, I have my daughter. I get in the car coming home from work. She always says, "You put Moses on the ark again?" Or did you know what you said? And I said, "Oh, here it comes. What did I say? Got something backwards." I mean, yeah, if I put Noah on the ark, you're going to know that. Well, he's supposed to be there. I'm sorry. See, I'm all messed up in my mind. If I put Moses on the ark, you know Noah's what I meant. But I might even have something else wrong that I said that, you know, that's more worse than that. Okay? And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm up here, you know, I've got something that I'm trying to deceive you with. I'm just going to tell you, you know, I'd be a pretty arrogant fella if I thought that I had everything right in my understanding. You say, really? Well, how many of you think you can say that you got everything right in the understanding of the Word of God? Is there any hands? I've got it all figured out. And I couldn't be wrong in anything I believe. Ooh, that'd be pretty arrogant in my estimation. I'm not telling you I know of any. No, I don't know of anything that I'm wrong on, but that's the thing. Of course I don't know it. But I'm sure there's something there. Because I'm a fallible man. Did I say that right? I think I said what I thought I said. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, but so, I mean, I could say something, I could steer you wrong. You know, not intentionally. We can't just believe what we hear, and it's not because you're trying to say, well, I wonder where he tried to steer me wrong. No, it's to confirm that what the man said is right, not just trying to find out what he did and said wrong. You don't need to be a professional preacher killer, you know, there's plenty of those around already. All right, so, I mean, you're there to receive the word with all readiness of mind, but you search the scriptures just to confirm that that's so, and that's going to help you remember it because you've heard it one time, now you're reading it. It's confirming the word. That's what we're supposed to do. I can show you a prophet didn't do that very well. I've got to move on. I already said it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. You know, Jeremiah lived in a day false prophets abounded. He was kind of a little lone voice out there going against all these other guys, right? Well, he grew up hearing, you know, the children of Israel that turned away from God, the children of Judah, you shall have peace. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. I think, I'll just do it myself because I can't quote it. Jeremiah chapter 23. Here's the type of thing that a lot of the prophets in that day were, that the people were hearing. And God took him to task here through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 23. And it says, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. This is verse 16. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. Now here's what the preachers were telling in that day to people that despise God. You're going to have peace. Everything's okay. They would say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own evil heart. You know what they tell them? No evil should come upon you. Everything's good. That's the kind of preaching I get the idea that Jeremiah heard. And probably all the preachers are preaching the same thing. Isn't that a safe thing? Just because the preachers are preaching, they're all the same, they're all together? Better be careful. Jeremiah chapter 4. When the Lord raised up Jeremiah and started telling Jeremiah what to go preach, you know what he told him? Look here in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord. He says, verse 5, declare in Judah and publish in Jerusalem, say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, say, assemble yourselves, let us go into the defense cities, set up the standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. That's the message that Jeremiah was telling. He wasn't saying everything's peace, peace when there was no peace. He's saying, look, God is sending destruction from the north. And he says, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way, and he's going to make the land desolate. That was the real word, the real truth. Not what Jeremiah had been hearing preached, but you know what Jeremiah's response was to the Lord when the Lord told him this? Look in verse 10. Then said I, oh Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. Jeremiah saying, Lord, wait a minute, Lord. This is not in... You've been telling us we're going to have peace. No, he just had been hearing that preached.
Right.
He just been hearing that preached. If he'd gone back to Deuteronomy and looked, you turn away from God, I'm going to send the sword. I'm going to send the enemy. You're going to be destroyed. I'm just saying. See, the point is, we need to be diligent. Receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things be so. And I'm running out of time. So we need let me just tell you. One good thing would be we could do following the hearing of the word. That'd be most profitable is to meditate and think about. Not only confirm the word that we hear, yes, it's in scripture, but think about it. What did the preacher last Sunday preach on? Don't have to tell me. Do you know at your home church what they preached on? What did you learn? Oh. And if you think I'm being really mean preacher, I have to confess to you, sometimes I don't remember what I preached on last Sunday either. Just being honest. Oops, yeah. I don't know. Maybe y'all have that problem too? You say, well, a preacher shouldn't have that problem. Well, the preacher has that problem. Other people do too. But we should rectify that. Meditate. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. There's meditation, thinking about. You ought to be thinking about what's preached this morning. We ought to spend time thinking about. Brother Jeff Winfrey last night, wonderful, and the other brethren. But he, you know, I just, I just thought of that one. I mean, that'd be some good things to meditate and think about. And these other brethren. I'm just saying, meditation. We're going to be profited most by the hearing of the Word of God if we don't just file it away. If we take it and meditate. Is there anything that stood out in his sermon? What did I learn? What did he bring to remembrance that I already knew? Think about these things. Meditate upon them. And the Lord, it'll bless us. All right? So, these are just some of the things. I ran out of time. I'm sorry. I took more time than what I thought. But there's some things that goes before the preaching. Some things that we need to be doing during. And some things we can do after. Amen. And I'll just leave you with James 1:20. It says, don't be just a hearer of the word or doer of the word only. Or don't be a hearer of the word. Y'all can, anybody, any of you brethren can save me or I get it there. Here I am. But you be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? So, of course, that has to do with applying. But if you're applying it, you're thinking about it. Okay? So, think about this one. As the next brother comes forward that I've taken some of this time, be attentive, try to understand, and the Lord bless you.